We're so excited for you to listen to today's episode with Mimi Miller of Mimi Miller Women's Wear, and we're really excited to share with you a promo code. She's been generous enough to offer us 20% off her new fall collection. You can go to shopmimimiller.com and use the code FOX20 for 20% off, and it expires on November 15th. So go get them, foxes. Mimi Miller, welcome to the Fox Hole.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. I guess we're joining you in your Fox Hole studio space. Kind of. So,
yeah, the studio space is so cool. I love Mimi has like her drawings, and she has like this really cool rack
and her
color coded.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
We're gonna be doing some shopping, y'all.
I don't have any of your pieces yet, so I think it's time.
Yes.
Okay, so this is fun because typically, like, I know people's backstory, but, like, yeah. I really don't know a whole lot about you, so I'm excited to just, like, dive in. We'll probably have a lot of questions for you, so sorry in advance.
Sorry, that's the whole point of this.
Right, yeah, sorry about a lot of foxholes. So tell us about you and about Mimi Miller Designs. Or
yeah.
Shop Mimi Miller. What are we calling it?
So I'll call it MMW.
Okay.
But it's Mimi Miller Women's Wear. Just
okay.
It's like a mouthful sometimes, so we'll just abbreviate it to
MMW.
Yes, M Dubs. There
M-dubs.
We go.
You're welcome.
So I went to Marymount University in Arlington, and I studied fashion design there. So my degree
cool.
is a Bachelor of Arts degree in fashion design.
Cool.
So,
I didn't know they had that around here.
Yeah, they do. It's now I think the only one. There was a fashion marketing program at the Art Institute in Roslyn, but they are like shutting down locations.
I know. So
now,
sad.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and you got like an accredited degree, which
yes,
I think is
yes.
worth something too.
It is, yes. It's accredited for your degree.
Cool.
So I learned pattern making, illustration, all that good stuff. So like I just always loved fashion when I was little. I was always like sketching.
Oh.
So when it came time for college, I was like, oh, I can actually like make this a career. So went that route, graduated in 2015 and just
you little nugget.
And you just like dove in.
So cool.
That's amazing.
Thanks. It was totally unplanned. If anyone had asked me that May if I would be starting a business, I'd be like, no. I'm gonna like, you know, get a retail job, find an assistant designer position.
Yeah.
I never would have been like, yeah, I'm gonna start my own business, like
wow.
be a CEO. No. So it happened because I like wasn't finding the jobs that I wanted, and
DC is like a hard place for fashion if you're looking in DC.
Yeah, there's like little to none.
Yeah.
Seriously. Especially like more serious positions that are like salary paid, you know,
right.
and that kind of
right.
thing. And so I also wanted to like keep creating pieces and designing. And so I was looking for places to get fabrics outside of like the retail like sphere. So more wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just cause I would not be buying in bigger quantities and I wanted to save money. So I found trade shows. And so I was like, oh, like this is where everyone buys their fabric.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I did some made to order pieces and then they sold okay, but I had a lead time of 2 weeks, which people were okay with, but it's just hard to scale.
What's normal? I'm like, oh my god, that seems like no time.
So
that does seem like
it depends. I think it depends on how many like orders you have. So I didn't have a whole lot, so I was able to like whip them out.
And you're doing
like
the orders.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was 2 week lead time. But it's just hard to scale a business that way, you know? And
yeah.
I was kind of, like, thinking ahead, but not still fully, like, this is going to be a business. But I was, like, if I wanted to take it there, like, how would, you know, how could I make it grow?
Right.
So just did some research. My parents were, like, why don't you try to find a manufacturer around here? And I was, like, okay.
There's an idea.
Yeah. Very big idea.
Yeah.
So, did some like Google research and found Sample Sew, which is who I still work with today. She's a women-owned small batch manufacturer in Northeast DC.
Wow. What's she called? What's her business?
Pattern Sample Sew.
Sample Sew. Very cool.
Yeah. So she made my first collection and still makes my stuff today. So
that's amazing.
We're just going to do this. We're going to jump
off
the cliff.
How did you find her?
Yeah.
Google,
the deep dark pages
Stop,
of Google.
That's amazing.
Today, if you Google her, she's on the first page.
Okay.
It's like been a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was
that's
it
amazing.
Was a challenge.
Does she work with only DC type brands or does she work with other brands?
No, I believe she works with, I mean, whoever is like interested. I don't know how many like out of area clients so that she has.
Cool.
But I know she does produce stuff for like other people in DC.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so cool. It's made in DC.
It is truly made in DC.
Okay, so
I love it.
You graduated in 2015. When did you sort of find
Pattern Sew Sample, what you call them. Details, you guys, are not my thing. I'm going to need you to write that down.
Pattern Stitch Sew.
So in January 2016 is when I found her and, like, started working with her. And then I launched my first collection at Steadfast Supply in their, like, original location.
I love them.
In September of 2016.
Wow. Yeah. So, like,
it was
1 year. And you were like, look at me, I have a fashion line.
Kind of.
Damn.
Yeah.
Inspired over here.
I look back on it and I'm like, what was I doing? Like, I just love. Had I known
the work,
I would have probably not have done it.
I think that's like kind of like the theme of all business owners, right? You're like, looking back on things.
It's a good thing I did know what I was doing.
That's so cool.
Well, I love that you weren't finding what you wanted in this area and you just kind of like made your own thing happen.
Yeah, thanks. And it has to do with also like the design of the clothes is I do things that are like longer and looser. And I just wasn't finding that in stores either at a more accessible price point.
Yeah.
So that also kind of like fueled, you know, the business as well.
Because you wanted to wear it. Mm-hmm. So you're like, I guess I have to
make clothes.
That's so cool though. So where does like your inspiration behind, like your pieces are longer and looser and stuff like that. Where does that inspiration come from?
So I'm Muslim. And so, you know, there are certain like dress requirements. And so I was like, I don't want to wear a maxi dress. I don't want anything frumpy. Like, I still want to be stylish, you know, kind of on trend a little bit, but still pretty classic and like versatile because like slow fashion and that kind of whole sphere is important to me. So I was like, we need more options.
Yeah.
Or, like I said, just a maxi dress.
And right.
Like, that's all that.
Okay, I love that. I was not expecting you to say, where this, like, real inspiration comes from. I mean, obviously real inspiration, but, like, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally are like, I need cool clothes to wear. I'm going to make them.
Yeah. And, like, I like shoes, and I want to, like, I don't want to show off my shoes to sound like braggy, but I just I like looking down and seeing my shoes.
You do have great shoes. <Thank you. laughs>
So everything hits like a little bit above the ankle. So
Your
shoes are hidden.
Cool. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that skirt. I like just looked over it. That is so cute. I wish I could wear that right now.
We're sitting in her studio and there's her like spring summer collections out. So it's a lot of like dusty rose and some peach or am I just butchering the name?
No, that's right. Perfect. You're right.
You're like, oh, stop.
Dirty rose.
I said dusty. But there's this one dress I really have to try before I leave. It's like a copper color made for gingers.
Yeah, it's like copper for gingers because it's like
it's gonna be my business line. You know, I'm a competitor.
It's all good.
And the gingham, I love the gingham too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love gingham.
What's the difference between it's gingham, the texture?
So,
that feels like seersucker.
Oh, yeah, so that one's seersucker. I have a gingham piece, that's why I was like, oh, yes, gingham.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one's seersucker.
And then what's this one?
You're right, you're totally right.
That is a pin cord.
Gingham's like crossed, right?
Yeah, it is.
Crisscrossed.
So I have gingham in my box. So I was like, yeah, gingham.
You're like, you said
but it's not, like, it's not actually.
Have you been snooping?
Pregnancy brain, people. Pregnancy brain.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I like down that foxhole that the people cannot see, so I'm just gonna like go back to our interview. But we have stories on Instagram, but we'll post some stories, some photos too, because it's just a cool space.
And I love the kilt piece too. I really, that's such a cool.
Yeah. She's got like a,
it's like a
fall
long
capsule collection.
That brings me back to my, like, Catholic schoolgirl days, but, like, cooler.
Also, like, sweatshirt. I love it, because that's, like, was the inspiration. It was, like, this, like, reinvented schoolgirl look.
Yeah. And, like, sweatshirt dress is, like, my whole life. That's amazing.
It's comfy.
Love it. Okay, so did you always know that you wanted to be a fashion designer? Or where did you kind of think that that would take you when you were growing up?
So I never had, like, I was never the kid that was like, this is what I, like, what I want to be when I grew up. I just knew that I loved art and I loved fashion. And so, like I said, it wasn't until high school until I really knew, like, the positions in the industry that were available. But I was like, I just like drawing clothes. And I just wanted to do something with fashion. And so I always thought, like, I would work for somebody, not that I would own my own business.
Right.
Like, that was always, like, a 10, like, 15 year, you know, down the line kind of plan.
So was your family supportive about that? Because I can see a lot of people, you know, in this area, it's not like a track that most people take where they like into the idea.
It's like New York where
I feel like a lot of people are like, what are you doing with your life? It's not like the most secure job route, you know, but
that's so fun.
It is. And my parents are like totally supportive. They're like, you know, do whatever you want to do. We're here to support you. I mean, I still live at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So
good for you.
Well, I feel like that says a lot.
I totally would.
Live that life until you can, because it's like,
yeah, that's what I hear all the time.
That
way. I want to move out, but I know that it's for the best.
Yeah, yeah.
It has its pros and its cons, but I'm thankful.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they fully support me. So
how cool.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And when you were growing up, they were like, yeah, fashion, it's like a totally viable industry for you. That's
even
so
like
cool.
When I went to, like, when I was applying to colleges, you know, I was applying to Parsons at FIDM, all these other schools, and they're like, yeah, like, go for it. And I had friends who wanted to do fashion merchandising. The parents were like, no,
right,
do something, you know, a little more serious, which, you know, I have a hard time relating to, but yeah, so I was lucky.
Good,
I am lucky.
Good job, Mr. and Mrs. Mimi Miller. I love that.
So great.
Okay, so walk us through like the first year of M-Dubs. You know, kind of like highs, lows, like what were you sort of like surprised was like easier than you thought, and what was like a big challenge that you kind of ran into?
Let's see. The first year was like crazy. I felt like I was just running all around DC. I mean, I still am all the time trying to do as many pop-ups as I possibly can. I think looking back, one thing that I would have done differently is I would have given myself more time to develop the line. Not that I don't think that I developed it well, like that first collection, but I'm just like the person that's so excited, like I want to make it right away, like see the finished product.
Yeah.
And so I would have, like, looking back, I think I would have taken an extra like 3 months to just like do it a little bit slower and just like take my time rather than be like, I have to get this done.
Gotcha.
I need to see it now.
In kind of a way that you look at it, like if you took 3 months, you could have been like, oh, I would have tweaked this type of thing, or just like maybe my ideas would have melded a little bit more. Like,
yeah, I think that. Like, that's just cool. Maybe ideas would have developed a little bit more, not better, just like in different ways, maybe giving me different or more options in different areas.
Yeah,
that's such a good thing for you to recognize, though, to continue to like evolve and improve on your business and how you produce your lines.
Yeah, thanks.
Right,
that's why I'm like slowing down this collection.
Right,
I'm like, okay,
you live, you learn. That's
breathe.
Like,
yeah.
Business owners, like, I feel like that's like all you can do because you can't really see
the future.
The future.
Yeah,
so
no,
you're just like literally like living and learning every single day.
Yeah, that's so cool. So is it like really rewarding to look back and be like, I've grown so much?
Yeah.
Like your line must have like evolved a lot already just in these 2 short years.
Yeah, it has. It has. And it's nice to be like, I don't have this anymore in my house. It's all gone.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it is cool. And it's interesting to see too, even how like my style has changed in just 2 years. Because like, in the moment, I don't think that it has, but then, like, looking back at, like, photos, I'm like, there's similarities, but there are also a lot of differences, too.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And, like, what I thought my customer was and the kind of fabrics that I thought I needed to use or wanted to use, you know, so.
Yeah, and I love watching young designers, like, over time. Like, if you look back at certain designers over time, like, they were so young when they created things, and you do see those similarities, but then, like, their life has evolved so much, too, so then you get to see this great, like, projection.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Well, it's also, like, it feels so good, like, for me with photography, like, to look back on, like, when you first started and, like, you got excited about an image, but then now you'd, like, know how much you've grown and improved and the skill set, so it's just, like, really rewarding to
Oh, my God, I look back at some stuff and I'm like, should I just reimburse these people?
Yeah.
Like,
what was
I thinking?
Paid me for that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
go
like
me.
Like, this is never being shown ever again, though.
And I just remember, you know, you remember being like so proud of it.
Right.
Yes. That's what's so fun.
But yeah, it's so fun to see all of your like hard work and time pay off.
Yeah, it is. It is.
What was your process for launching?
Oh, I never really.
Or like when you launch a new line.
That's really not what you want to hear. Now it's definitely more organized. And it was still pretty organized when I first launched, but you know, in school, they just teach you how to make a garment from start to finish. They don't teach you about manufacturing. They don't teach you about the business side of anything.
So like marketing.
So, no.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's like, what is marketing?
Crazy.
What is this?
Yeah.
So that was all just like a huge learning curve and like learning in the moment.
Right.
So luckily I launched at Set Fast Supply. So that really helped with a lot of like outreach and exposure. If it hadn't been for that, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you just found the right fit for you.
Yeah.
For that first selection.
Yeah. They emailed me and they're like, do you want to be a part? And I was like, yes,
sure do.
I do.
Sure do.
Count me in. And so then one of my parents' friends' husbands also helped me set up like SEO stuff and like Google AdWords.
That's
so that also
great.
Yes. So thankful.
That's amazing. It's
like, I appreciate you so much because I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah.
So, so those kind of helped me like launch and like get exposure like online and then in person.
Mm-hmm.
Now I, work with like influencers sometimes. Mm-hmm. I do lookbook kits, which is like, now it's just a card that I send out.
Ooh,
with,
oh, that's the sweater you're wearing.
And,
I love that.
Yeah, with images, pricing, sizing stuff. And then I include all the swatches that are going to be in the collection.
Cool.
So,
that's so cool. So you can like actually touch and feel
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So like for people who are out of state or like can't ever make it to an event or whatever the case may be, they can so get nice. Like the best idea possible of the garment that they would, you know, get if they ordered. So
who do you give these to? Potential retailers or?
Everybody.
Okay.
I send them out to like media publications.
Okay. Oh, it's like a mailer. It's
yeah,
like a
yeah.
mailer almost.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yep. I put those away, but I have, oh, here they are. These little guys. So I just like stick them in here with
like a nice envelope presentation.
Yeah. So I send to everybody. They're listed on my website. So they're free. They're complimentary for customers. They ship for free
oh, wow.
as well. So.
I love that you can feel.
Yeah, that's so cool.
With your little swatches. Very cool.
Thanks.
So how'd you come up with your tagline that's when you're not in the mood for a miniskirt?
Because, so I don't tell people that I do like modest stuff or conservative because I don't want to cut anyone out. And
right.
there are people who are like, oh, that's not for me. But like, maybe it is because you just like the style. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
With not having that terminology attached to it.
Right. Like I would never consider myself conservative, but I would definitely wear
right.
some of these pieces.
And I don't consider myself conservative either. I feel like it's like a very like old.
Yeah.
It totally
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I just lost my train of thought. Where was I going?
Your tagline.
My tagline, yes. So that's what I like to say. It's like, even if you are like the person who doesn't consider yourself modest, sometimes you just like want to be comfortable
yeah.
and wear something longer. So when you're not in the mood for a mini skirt, here's a longer skirt that's still equally as cute.
I have no idea for you. Can you do pajamas next?
Yeah.
Like all I want to live in.
But also, like, tall girls, like, I haven't been able to, like, purchase a mini skirt that's, like, not.
Yeah.
Like, I can only imagine.
Yeah,
basically, like, the last time I was able to, like, actually buy and wear some kind of mini skirt was probably, like, 23.
Oh my God.
Because, like, it's just not long enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I love, like, the mini skirts are so perfect because I don't feel like.
Look,
when I look
revealing
like
everything.
Way too young,
yeah,
but I don't
yeah.
have to like worry about like constantly like shimmying
yes.
something down.
This is true.
Learned
so like
true.
So good for the tall girls too.
Yeah.
How do you name your pieces? I see Jill and Kendall.
Yeah. So before I just like looked around at other brands, like what do people do? What seems to be the norm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And people gave them names. Like, okay, so we'll just give them names. But now I'm understanding more about how search engine optimization works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
right.
why now you'll see the skirt is just plaid A-line skirt. So
right,
when people
right.
search it on Google, it'll come up better. Because no one's
right.
like, oh, let me just search for a Jill dress. Like,
right,
no one's
right.
ever going to think about that,
totally.
You know?
Right.
But those two styles, so the top and the dress I did last season.
Oh, so
so just so they're like, you know, familiar and recognizable,
gotcha.
I kept the same names.
How cool.
Yeah. If I do that in the future, I don't know, but.
Yeah.
We'll see
that makes sense. Cool.
Well,
well that's like the joy of
people,
owning your own business.
People like that kind of like fantasy thinking about like who Jill is and
yeah.
And that kind of thing. That's why like all of like the nail polishes and things like that are named.
Yes. It's like, oh, this is my mood right now.
The post-apocalyptic
right.
unicorn.
And it's like made with Love Bridal, which is like half of my brides have worn that brand this year.
Oh, really?
They all have names.
Most, a lot of wedding gowns have names. Mine
was
called the Chloe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But kind of similar, like it's usually the lines that have smaller collections.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Totally. I think they only have like 10 to 14 designs made.
Oh, okay.
Made
pretty
with
small.
Love Bridal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to get a little nitty gritty. So let's talk about like how you do a fashion line, right? Like,
yeah.
So your first step is like, A, you have to have talent. B, you have to have like, you know, some of these prerequisites, right?
Yeah.
But like, so you basically created a group of sketches and then you
mm-hmm.
found a manufacturer. And then obviously like your design is leading your business, but what are sort of like the tactical things that you have to do, or at least you did in your first year to kind of like launch?
So I do all my pattern making myself and like muslin samples. So I've like had to build up my like pattern
right.
inventory, mm-hmm. closet, whatever we want to call it, hanging right over there.
Cool.
So now it's easier when I go to design collections, I can mix and match pieces.
Okay.
So that's helped a lot. But I mean, it's pretty like pretty much the same process every single time. There's nothing like that has to happen more so in the first year than with any other collection down the line. Mm-hmm. I will say like I did more pattern making and like more grading. So grading is when you send your patterns off to a grader and he enlarges your patterns into all the different sizes. So like my sample size is an extra small, so then he'll increase it to a small, medium, large, extra large.
I was gonna ask how that works.
Interesting.
So how is that based on like industry standard sizing, or how does the grader do
sizing? Whatever your like the brand sizing is. Yeah. So I have my own size chart. So I'll send him the, you know, increments to increase to like the next size, and then the finished measurements of each size. So there's no question about, you know, whatever. He has messed up before, and that was terrible.
Because did you produce things that were...
Oh, no. We didn't find out until we were probably, like, 10 pieces in, which isn't a lot, but it's a lot for, like, a small guy like me. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
Did they have to take responsibility?
Yes, he did. Okay. He never apologized, but he, like, redid the work.
Oh, good.
And did it for free, so...
Oh, good.
Yeah. So he kind of,
like, not sorry that he
it. Yeah, so I was like, I'll take it.
Men and saying sorry. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Well. Don't always get that one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So how sizing, I had a question about. How do you figure out pricing?
So you have your, like, production price that includes, like, labor, materials, everything, any kind of overhead that you might have. I have very little overhead since I don't have a store, which is cool, although hopefully store one day. So then if I wanted to do wholesale, so if I was to sell to a retailer, then I would mark it up at least, like, minimum 2.2, like, percent to get to my wholesale price, and then a minimum another 2.2% to get to my retail price.
Oh, okay.
So I don't actually...
Do they teach you that in design school?
No.
Really?
Google taught you that?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's like, my only kind of complaint.
Yeah.
Not complaint, but just, like... disappointment, I guess, is that there was no
business.
I mean,
there was no
micro.
Like merchandising elective or like marketing. That's so interesting.
Yeah. Is it because they want you to like stay for another degree or something? Like,
I think so. Well, terrible. Also too, like their fashion design curriculum is very strict. And so because it's such a small school, so they usually only offer each class at one time. So, you know, say you had illustration from like, I don't know, 1 to 3 or whatever, and then you have your marketing class at that time, like you'd be kind of hard spot because you're like, do I take the like the fashion
the
class?
Thing that you market
like which do you choose? So I would say if I ever did another degree, I would have been there for an extra 4 years. So that's why I just like
That's crazy. I mean, I feel like that I hear that a lot in these sort of like artistic and creative based things. They're not also providing like the business knowledge. It's kind of like, I think it's totally bonkers that like I went to a university, I went to Maryland and I got like a bullshit degree in communications, but I never had to take anything about finance.
Yeah, feels like that.
Like I didn't have to know anything about finance or account or econ. Like there was nothing that I, like real world shit that you had to take. Whereas like, you know, your the classes that you have to take, what are those called? Your like first year.
Oh, general electives?
They're, like, not electives. That's the point.
Were you a liberal arts? Did you make a liberal arts requirements? But that's what we had.
Can you tell how old we are?
I can't remember the call. But basically, like, your core curriculum, like, it shouldn't be, like, English 101. It should be, like, how to live in the world.
That's what I, like, senior year, they should teach you about, like, taxes and, like, how to buy a house. Like, all this real-life information, not... Yeah, like an advanced level theology class that's going to get
me. Oh my gosh,
literally nowhere.
Nowhere.
Oh, college.
Or like, I was so pissed off when I still had to take math in college. I was like...
Girl, you know what I did for that?
I had to take 2 math classes. I just flirted with crazy. It was a TA... And I would go to after, this sounds like really slutty, but it's actually not.
Skanky.
I
just was like, I know. And when you tell slutty stories when you're pregnant, it's funnier.
I know that I'm not going to do good. This was like, this was how I like got like through high school too. I know that I'm not going to do good in this class, so I might as well like be a teacher's pet.
Hey, do what you got to do.
Pass
through.
I passed.
It's one way to do it.
That's all that matters.
Look at me winning.
I would just go to office hours and I would basically make him do my homework with me.
Make him do my homework.
Yeah.
Like, quote unquote. I took probability pass fail at the community college because they let me do that. And I probably passed.
Yeah.
Was that like, it was like probability, it was like the philosophy of...
I don't know. I took it at community college and I took it pass fail. I like literally didn't have to do anything. Additionally, when I took my astronomy exam, I still can't do it. I wrote astrology in my final the entire time. Every time I wrote astronomy, I wrote astrology. And my Ewok, she looked like an Ewok. She like made me come in and she was like, I'm gonna fail you if you like don't tell me what was going on. And I was like, maybe I was a little high. Sorry, Dr. Professor Ewok.
Oh my god.
But I didn't fail. So I didn't fail, you guys. It's fine.
Once again, all that matters.
I know.
I failed anatomy. That's another hard one.
That is hard.
I feel like you're like a doctor of pregnant anatomy right now. That's well, all you talk about.
I went to school originally for, I wanted to be a dietitian. Mm-hmm. And then it was hard. So I changed to communications.
Literally. You guys were actually really big overachievers. You just can't tell right now. Okay. Back to Mimi Miller. All right. When you feel like deflated or like uninspired, where do you go to kind of like get back on track?
I like to watch fashion documentaries on Netflix.
What's a good one?
Oh, I have a few favorites. I like the Dries Van Noten one.
Ooh,
that's on Netflix.
So cool.
The Alexander McQueen one was fantastic. That's not out.
McQueen is so cool.
Yes.
Where
it was in theaters. Yeah, like select theaters. So like hunting that down was a challenge. But I was like, I have to see it.
Yeah,
so.
I want to see it.
Hopefully it'll come out.
So I went and saw his the exhibit at the Met when he had it in New York. Oh my god,
I missed that. But yeah, I heard it was like wonderful. Passed.
Yeah,
yeah,
it
that
was super
really
cool.
Yes, yeah. I think that documentary is like my all-time favorite right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dries Van Noten one is good. Dior and I is good as well. I love the ones that show like them in their like actual current day studio like working. I love
yeah.
that, like, seeing the team. The Zac Posen one is pretty good too, because that shows a lot of like behind the scenes of like sewing and stuff
yeah.
like that. So just
yeah.
like hearing their like struggles and then also like success stories is
right.
like, super inspirational for me. Like, okay, I'm not the only one. You know,
right.
it's oh nice to just like to be brought back down to reality and know that you're not the only one
yeah.
who like has these similar, you know, trials.
Definitely.
So.
Can you send us links for this? Because we want to share them with our peeps.
Yeah.
Oh my
totally.
Gosh, I just like wrote down a
That's
few.
That's like great inspiration.
Totally.
What does your like support network look like? Like how do you kind of like build your, like, who do you go to for advice and what are you generally seeking and where do you kind of go for that, like, more obviously inspirational but also
mm-hmm.
business kind of track?
I have a few other design friends in the area, so we'll all get together and we'll like talk and like share
that.
Experiences.
Oh,
so I feel like that's been the most helpful.
Yeah.
Of course, Google.
Yeah.
Google and I are
my Google is like, honestly, Google and YouTube.
Yeah.
Yes, YouTube as well.
Do you find that with like that community that it's really easy for you guys to be like collaborative, or do you find that there's like some people who are like overly competitive?
So the smaller circle that I'm in is definitely more collaborative and there's
yeah.
no like threat of like sharing information
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, they're going to take that and like,
that's so great.
You know, use it against
yeah.
you or like get ahead. I don't feel like that. And I don't think anyone
no
else
one's
is
threatening
either.
Ginger design.
Yeah, yeah, no, not at all.
Not in the inside circle yet, you guys.
No. But then there is like a larger network and I do feel like I have to just, you know, be cautious about
yeah.
what I share. And I tell people I try to be an open book because whatever I know, I've just learned from Google. So,
yeah.
You know, you can go like, out there and research it yourself. It just takes time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm like I said, I'm pretty much an open book, but there are times like, okay, let me just feel this one out.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Smart.
Yeah.
That's so great that you have like a even like a small network that's
mm-hmm.
really supportive and open to like sharing information.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, hey, we have this event coming up, or like share, like, are you available? Whatever, you know,
yeah.
or this is happening, like check it out. So
well, it helps all of you grow
mm-hmm.
together. It doesn't actually
mm-hmm.
like it actually helps all of you. It doesn't actually hurt any of you.
No, and
yeah.
we all have very like, different looks, but we kind of share the same like thoughts and like ideas as well about like who our customer is and like
okay.
lifestyle and stuff like that. So it's not like we're all
That's
selling
so
like the same like products. So
yeah,
because then it would get kind of like
yeah
messy a little bit, you
it
know.
Can,
but
yeah.
You know, what I sell is different than what Megan Evans sells or Rebecca Murray of Virginator Dress Company. So
yeah,
it's just nice like mix of
That's
similar
great.
But different at the same time.
That's great.
That's
Are there
so cool.
Like organizations or groups that if somebody's like an aspiring designer can go to?
Not really.
Isn't that bullshit in D.C.?
There you go. Maybe you
yeah,
should start one.
Yeah.
In all your extra time.
So,
with all your extra time.
There's actually a Facebook page started by Megan Evans, and she's another clothing designer in D.C., and so we'll share, like, links, tips, whatever, experiences on there. But there's no, like, official, like, DC, like, yeah.
Okay. DC Designers Incorporated.
Yeah.
DDI.
Just took your next idea.
What is your, I would say, average day like, but, like, your typical week, I would say, because I know your day-to-day is very different, probably.
Yeah. So, I still work a part-time job. I sub at a local elementary school.
Cool.
So, which is nice, because I have a ton of, like, flexibility with that. So I'm like, if I have a meeting one day, I don't go in. If I don't, you know, then I'll like pick up a sub job or whatever. But for days that I'm doing the MDub stuff, I get up usually at like 8 or 9. I'll go down and I'll like feed my bunnies and like hang out with them for a little bit.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about the bunnies.
She has 8 bunnies. Yes. Yeah.
She has 8 bunnies. I can't wait to meet the bunnies.
I know. Yes. 8 fluffy bunnies.
What are their names?
I had a bunny growing up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she was born on Valentine's Day, so I named her Kisses, and she was a black bunny.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
And then she ran away.
Oh no.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
What are your bunnies saying?
She lived a long life. She lived a long life.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So I have Weatherby, who's a boy.
Weatherby.
I have Clover, and they're like husband and wife combo. They love each other.
Oh my god.
They're like the only two that are together.
Are they snuggle bunnies?
Oh, for sure.
Snuggle bunnies.
Yes, true snuggle bunnies. They kiss each other, like lay all over each other, clean each other's ears. They're super cute. Like, they're like relationship goals for me.
Oh my gosh. Bunny goals.
So yeah, Weatherby, Clover, and then it's Fred. Who's Chucky, so we call him Fat Fred.
Fat Fred, okay.
And we have Oreo, and we have Snowflake,
cute.
And we have Mona.
Mona, that's a very mature name.
Snowflake and Mona, we just got, like, 2 months ago, and so those are the names that their, like, previous owners gave them. Okay. And so we just haven't changed them.
Gotcha.
I don't know if I will. So then we have Marley. And then we have Stelos. And so the funny story behind Stelos is we thought he was a girl. Because I've been dying for a bunny named Stella. I just want it to happen. So these people are like, oh, we found this bunny behind your old high school. Like, do you want it? Like, everyone brings us bunnies.
Yeah, that's just so funny.
So we're like, sure, bring them over. So, like, yeah, we think it's a girl. And so if they're young enough, then you can't tell what their gender is.
Right.
So, like, yeah, it's a girl. Like, okay, it's a girl.
Cool.
So, like, yes, I got my Stella. And then, like, 3 weeks later, you know, the stuff came in.
Yeah.
And
you're like, you're not a
Stella. And we were like, no, he's a boy. Like, so Stelos. That's how he became Stelos.
Stelos.
So I might switch Mona or stuff, like, to Stella.
Oh, yeah.
That's confusing. That's a little selfish of me to just change their name.
To change her identity.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so when you have 6 bunnies, when are you like, yeah, I could probably use 2 more?
So I was only supposed to have 1, like, and it was supposed to be Weatherby.
You're a bunny addict.
It's just grown. It's grown. Yeah, oh I'm like, gosh, I'm at so my limit because we literally just don't have any more space in our garage.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we can't, like, get
do they do more. It? Do Clover and Weatherby
I was going to say, my aunt used to, like, breed and, like, mate bunnies, and it was, like, the most fun thing ever because you could hold these tiny little bunnies.
Yeah, they're so little.
Bunnies are so cool. Do bunnies get spayed and neutered?
Yes, they do.
All right, are so, Clover and Weatherby practicing safe?
So Weatherby is fixed. Okay. So yeah, so he's safe. Clover is not.
Ooh, Clover.
So she likes to get a little frisky all the time. And it's always when like visitors are over, like children.
Of course, it always is.
I'm like, Clover, we have visitors? Like, show some manners.
Be a lady. Be a lady.
Yes, oh just for God, like 5 so minutes until they leave. And then you can go back to what you're doing.
I'm definitely going to Insta story that if they do that while we're here. So.
Oh my God, so much. So, anyway, so you feed your bunnies.
Yes. So I feed my bunnies. I'll come back inside and I make this detox drink with apple cider vinegar, lemon, cayenne pepper, cinnamon, ginger, and like mix it with a little bit of water so the like apple cider vinegar doesn't like burn your coffee.
Yeah.
So I'll drink that and like make breakfast.
Is it a hot drink?
No, I drink. Well, you can make it hot. I just drink it cold. It's kind it's of like hard. A glorified lemonade, as my mom calls it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like fancy lemonade. So I'll do that, eat breakfast, usually turn on some, like, Kardashians. So if I have, like, a new episode to catch up on, I'm also obsessed with them. Or the Today Show if I'm feeling more mellow.
Yeah.
And then I'll come
That's
up here.
It's probably very energetic to, like, wake up with the Kardashians.
People screaming at each other.
It is. And it's like, oh, ready. Day's gone.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
And, like, no matter what, you know your day's going to be better than Scott Disick.
Yes.
Well, that's, like, Lauren Everts. Like, he likes to listen to, like upbeat stuff in the morning.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah, so sometimes I start with Kardashian, sometimes it's Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Whatever the day brings.
Yes.
So then I'll come up here. Recently, it's been getting lookbook kits together. I don't usually do a whole lot of pattern making just because it happens, like, once at the beginning of, like, the design process and then I'm done.
Right.
So I spend most of my time researching, like, marketing ideas, thinking of, like, events or, like, workshops that I could do, trying to build, you know, relationships or connections with other creatives in the area. So, yeah, it's a lot of just, like, laptop time, which I tell people. It's like, you run a, like, I run a clothing brand. You think that I would be, like, drawing and, like, pulling fabrics out all day long. It's not that at all.
Do you have, like, a yearly calendar where you're like, okay, like, January I start, like, brainstorming and looking for inspiration for the next collection?
I do. And so I work backwards, actually. So, like, I'm like, okay, so October 1st, I want to have my collection, like, ready to release. So then I'll, like, plan back from, like, how much time I need for production and
reverse engineering.
Yeah. So, I'm like, okay, so, like, you know, January, whatever, then I need to start, like, looking for inspiration or, like, fabric hunting. So...
Fabric hunting seems fun.
It is. I go to New York twice a year, once in July and once in January for their trade shows. So that's where I get all my swatches from.
I've gone to a fabric store in New York, and it's just, like, one of the big warehouses, and it's just, like... I'm just like, how do people...
Is it overwhelming? Yeah, how do you even start?
Oh, my God.
It's so...
There's so much stuff. Much. It's all so cool.
Do you just, like, find your distributors that, like... You kind of, like, know your people now, or are you still in that phase?
No, I've pretty much narrowed down who I, like, will go to. So when I go to New York, the first event, it was, like, super overwhelming. It's, I go to Premier Vision, and it's geared a little bit towards smaller brands. They have slightly smaller minimums, and the suppliers are more open to negotiation than, say, Texworld, which is where you'll see, like, the huge mass, like, like, the Ann Taylor's, like, the Lofts. Like, that's where they shop for fabric. But it was, like, very cutthroat. You have to wear this badge, and it tells, like, your name and who you work for. And everybody's like, oh, who do you work for?
You're like, myself?
You know, and like, well, who is that? Like, I legit had people laughing at me, like, one time. And I was like,
oh, New York.
Rude. Yeah, I was like, okay, it, whatever.
Just makes you stronger.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what New York does to you.
It does, yeah. Fight or flight, and you gotta fight. So, so yeah, so I've narrowed it down now who I go to. They know me by name, which is really nice, and they're more friendly than they were the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. So
less shitty.
Yes. So I'll go see them, like, pick out my swatches, and I'm done. So I don't, like, the first time I went, I was there for probably, like, 5 or 6 hours, just because, once again, it's so overwhelming.
Yeah.
They have suppliers from Turkey and France and Italy and Japan and, like, all, like, the really small or, like, smaller, like, European countries. Like, Texworld is, like, China and India. Yeah. The, like, those, like, bigger... those bigger suppliers. Premier is smaller, which is nice. Like, Canada or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's still a lot. But I go in with, like, designs or, like, ideas at least. I'm like, okay, this is what I know that I need to look for. Because if you don't, you're just like, give it all to me.
It's like going to the grocery store when you're hungry.
Yes, it is.
Exactly. Is your problem that you love too much or you hate too much?
I love too much.
Yeah. That's how I feel, like, one of those.
Oh, my gosh,
Like a silk organza, definitely can't use this, but I'll take it anyway.
Right, well, I imagine, especially because your line is, like, not huge. It's not, like, 200 pieces. Yeah. Like, you have to, like, stay very focused. I feel like, obviously, that's not my strength. I'd go to one of those and be like, I guess I'll just change my whole line now because I like this one fabric.
I mean, sometimes that happens. Like, oh, like, I love this, you know, and I wasn't expecting to find it, so I'll, like, tweak it a little bit. Yeah.
That's cool.
I love that.
Love it.
Do you ever buy stuff to just, like, make stuff for yourself?
I don't. But sometimes I'll order extra of something that, like, I'm already ordering and then make something for myself.
That's awesome.
Or my mom is like, can you make me something out of this? And I'm like, no, mom, like, I don't have time. Yeah. Sorry, I don't have time for you.
There's
anymore.
A rush order.
Submit your order. Submit your order.
You're like, you're literally a bedroom away, but I can't do it for you.
That's so funny. And she's like, that is my bedroom.
Yeah. I own this house.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, fine. Okay, fine.
Oh my gosh.
So what do people ask you for advice the most?
They're like, how do you, like, run a fashion, like, business company, clothing company in D.C.? And, like, what is that like? Because, you know, the community is so small.
Right.
And there isn't a whole lot of, you know, attention dedicated to it. Like, there's D.C. Fashion Week, but it's still not, like...
There is. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. We won't get into that.
It's a little sad.
That's a nice way to say it. So, like, what is it like? Who do you talk to? Who do you work with? You know? And I'm like... It just, like, you know, there's not a whole lot of people except for the other designers that I'm friends with. And, like, the few like serious retailers like Seda of Shopkeepers. She's at Florida and 13th, like right around the corner from Union Market.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's just, it's really small, you know, it's, they're not all a whole lot of connections outside of like the influencer arena, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, it is what it is. It's not this like New York-esque style, you know, like production or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. Yeah.
So I usually ask this last, but because of the landscape, like what is kind of like next for Mimi Miller Women's Wear? Like where beyond the DC landscape, or are you still working on conquering like the DC landscape? What's sort of like the goal?
So I'm still working on conquering DC, although I will say I have picked up a lot more traction and like people kind of know where to go like to find myself now, which is really nice. Like, oh, I saw you here or here or whatever. Yeah, it's really neat. I've seen a few people out like in the wild. Yee! I'm like, oh, I'd like take a picture with me.
Oh, that's so cute. And I love that.
Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what it feels like. Oh,
amazing.
But so for 2019, at least, I want to travel more and do more like trunk shows like with retailers, mainly on the West Coast.
I really want to see that vibe.
California, like San Francisco really is like top of the list.
Oh, San Francisco. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I totally see that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of what's next. And like the next like year, because I usually do a lot of pop-ups and so I'm like, I want to invest instead of paying like booth fees and stuff, just invest that money like a plane ticket, you know, and like, travel and, you know, get outside of this immediate area a little bit more. But love to have a store one day with like a workspace flagship kind of a like feel.
Yeah.
So, oh, that would be so cool with like a studio.
Fun. Yeah. And then for product, I'm doing my core collection, which I mentioned earlier. So that's going to consist of these 9 styles. And they're all styles I've done before that...
What's the core collection?
So the core collection is composed of styles that are going to be available year-round. And they're going to be seasonless, like staple wardrobe pieces.
Gotcha.
So they're going to be out of all natural fibers. So cotton, tencel, linen, which a lot of people don't know that linen actually traps body heat in the winter. It's not just a summer fabric.
Yeah.
So I've picked these natural fibers because, you know, they'll either allow your body to breathe or they'll help trap body heat depending on what season you wear them in.
Right.
So they're 9 styles that I've sold really well before, done them all before, because right now I was doing, or before I was doing 2 separate collections a year.
Right.
And so I always tell people, you know, even $265 for dress is, it's expensive. Mm. Like it's a lot for some people. I couldn't buy my stuff right now. So if I'm operating under the idea that it might take time for people to save up for this, you know, and if it sells out in a season, then, you know, and they were saving up, then they missed it.
Right.
So I always wanted to have, or I want to have pieces that people can always come back to that will always be available, whether they're like, I just love this style and I need time to save up for it, or I need a black skirt and I love this one. Right. Here we go.
Is this one in the middle of a jumpsuit?
No, this one, it's actually the same tie dress over there. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So
they're going to be in neutral colors, so like black, navy, like a rust color.
Ooh, yeah.
Maybe an olive.
Ooh,
yeah. An olive.
I love all your colors. They're very ginger friendly.
Thank you.
Very inclusive. Thank you for that. 2% of the population is thrilled with you.
Yeah. I mean, you don't ever wear hot pink or neon orange?
I know. Sadly.
I don't know that a lot of people do.
You loser.
No, I don't really either.
The older I get... And I'm not that old. The less color I wear.
I know, isn't it funny? I used to, like, love me some turquoise.
Or, like, prints or anything. Like, I don't wear
Also, like,
except for, like, classic ones, like, plaid.
But. Yeah, yeah. That's funny. It's so true. Or just, like, a little flash of it or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some things that you're, like, obsessed with right now? Like, 3 things you're loving right now.
3 things I'm loving right now.
Or you've, like, recently discovered.
So, I just bought this... Can it just be anything? Like anything? Okay, so I just bought this body oil from Whole Foods. It's like by Alba. It's their Hawaiian. It's like their Hawaiian body oil.
I love Alba.
Because I've realized I'm a body oil person, not
We've
a lotion
really oil
person. And I love it. I put it on before I even dry myself off out of the shower. And it's amazing because I have like the driest skin on the planet.
That's the worst.
Oil's so good.
Well, we just did an episode with their dermatologist, so you're doing everything right. You're supposed to put it on when you're damp.
Oh, yes.
Your oils are very hydrating. And you can add a cream onto it in the winter.
Yeah, I like
not a lotion.
I mix,
a cream.
I mix like a cream and an oil together right now to like prevent stretch marks. Mm-hmm. And I do that twice a day, every day. Oil enough.
PSA. Okay, what else? Let's see what else. I recently switched over to this drink called Ticino because I can't have coffee because my heart, like, I just decided I wanted to have palpitations one day and send me to the ER.
It's called, like, tachycardia or something.
Tachycardia, so, I think.
Yeah. I think your mom has that, Casey.
Yes, she does.
Unfortunate. Yeah. So I've been drinking this stuff called Ticino, which is, it's made of, like, it's, like, dates and something else that's, like, the majority of it. But it's a tea. But it tastes and it smells just like coffee.
Oh, wow.
And there's no caffeine. It's actually a prebiotic, so it's, like, good for your system. There's no acidity. It's delicious.
Wow.
What's it called again?
It's called Ticino.
Ticino. Yeah. Definitely.
I wonder if it's pregnancy safe.
Ticino.
I don't know. So interesting. I still drink coffee when I'm pregnant because I just, like...
Where do you get energy from when you can't drink coffee?
I just deal with it.
It's really rough.
I, like, tell myself, like, this is coffee. It's really not coffee.
Oh.
I think, and I, like, just trick my brain.
When you come off caffeine, though, like, after, like, three to four weeks, your body just, like, you don't actually need it to wake up. It's weird.
Yeah, I had a headache for, like, a week. Yeah. And then I was, like, fine.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
This is going to be really personal.
Get it, girl.
Menstrual cups.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Oh, my gosh.
Share that. Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yes. Okay. So I started using it 6-ish months ago.
Okay.
Is it the Diva Cup or what is it?
So I tried that one, and that one, like, wasn't the best fit. So I switched to the Lunette Cup.
Okay.
And it's a little smaller.
Okay.
Amazing. So it's like you're not on, you don't have it. If you didn't have cramps, like, you would not be on your period for a week.
So you just leave it in the whole time and you don't have to switch it out like tampons?
No, so you switch it out. So you switch it out at least twice a day. So, like, in the morning, like, when you wake up, and, like, at night at the end of the day. And then, like, depending on, like, how heavy you are, maybe, like, once in the middle of the day. I, like, never have to do that.
Oh.
So, like, I go, like, the whole day. You don't have to wear, like, a liner or anything.
Oh my God. Like, what's the point? Is it convenient?
I've never heard anybody, like, talk about being happy with it, so that's why I'm, like, really interested.
Is it just because people, the toxins and tampons, like, what was the
so, like, tampons weren't super comfortable for me, and I don't like pads, so I feel like I'm wearing a diaper, and it, like, it just, and I do a lot of yoga. I'm also a certified yoga instructor. It's just, like,
I want to come here every day.
Yoga and like it's just
that's
so terrible. I was like, I need something that just feels more comfortable. And so I read about it. I was like, I don't know. So I read about it for, like, a while because I was like, this just is, like, a very foreign idea.
Yeah.
And also, too, like, pads and stuff are, like, most of them are, like, bleached, you know, which I don't want to put that inside of my body or, like, anywhere near me for that matter. And so I liked, like, hearing how people were, like, you can go all day without having to worry about changing it. You don't feel anything. Like, if you put it correctly, there's, like, so nothing there. Yeah.
It sounds like you lead, like, a pretty natural lifestyle between, like, your whole foods oil and this and your drinks that you make. Do you also do, like, the natural skincare stuff?
I do, yeah. Okay. I'm, like, super into, like, clean beauty. I also have really sensitive skin, too, and that's half the problem.
Yeah,
totally. So I use, like, a lot of Honest Beauty stuff for, like, the whole body, you know, like, makeup, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Non-toxic nail polish.
Very cool. Yeah. Which ones?
I like Pacifica.
Oh.
And I like, I don't know if it's completely non-toxic, but I know it's water permeable, so it's breathable. It's by Orly.
Oh.
And it's still, like, $5, so it's not super expensive.
Yeah.
I used to, so Inglot, you've heard of Inglot, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they used to have, like, a water permeable, breathable brand, and it was, like, $15, but it was, like, the only one on the market, so I bought it. And now Orly has one for, like, $5.
Oh, nice.
So I buy, like, two at a time.
Yeah.
Also, too, so, like, Muslim women, we pray, right? And so we have to, like, clean ourselves before we pray. And so regular nail polish creates a barrier between, like, the water and your nail. So that's why they also created permeable nail polish, because it allows water to seep through, so you're still, like, cleaning every part.
That is amazing. Is that why, like, do you know how, so if you wear nail polish for too long, you get, like, white marks almost? Mm-hmm. Is that because it's, like, not breathable?
It's not breathable, yeah. So it's, like, made of, like, a similar kind of, like, I don't know, technology, whatever you call it. Yeah. It's, like, a contact lens.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, so if you, like, paint around your, like, if you, like, get stuff on your skin, you just, like, run underwater and just, like, pick it off.
I've learned a lot here today.
Seriously.
Also how dirty my fingernails are. Damn it.
Well, no, they're probably clean because they have not seen the light of day since you've painted them, so.
You're safe. I know. Good Lord. Is there anything we left out? Anything we left out?
I don't know.
What are some DC brands that you love?
That I like clothing brands,
whatever,
or some just local like stuff. Local.
Where are you hanging out these days? Coffee shops. Or?
I'm always at the Wydown on H.
The Wydown.
Union Market's like my spot. Also because they have a bathroom and free parking, so I tell people it's like a little piece of suburbia. I can just whip in the 30-minute spot.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom.
Although lately, coffee, with all that construction, out. I can never find parking.
Oh, really? I haven't been over there in, like,
there's a new Blue Bottle over there.
Yes. I did see that.
Mm. And a Trader Joe's. They're, like,
I heard it's, like, a wonderful Trader Joe's, too. I haven't actually been in, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah.
Well, Trader Joe's is the shit.
Yeah, and I mean, the pickles over there at the market. Can't be enough pickles. Barbecue pickles, oysters, and wine. That's all I need.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to eat oysters, you guys.
I've actually never had oysters.
Because, like, they seem icky?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why my parents just don't eat it. Like, no one in my family has ever eaten oysters. Like,
yeah.
Okay, when Casey has her baby, we can go on an oyster adventure.
Oh my gosh.
You just have to, like, it's like you just have to, like, get over your first one, and then you're like...
I, like, thought I was allergic forever, and then I did, like, an allergy test when I was 26. And then my first oyster, I had, like, a bad oyster, and then I couldn't have oysters for, like, almost 3 years.
Yeah. But you know how to find them now.
I had them last summer again, and they're just, they're, like, so good with champagne, which I know is, like...
They are. It's true.
But...
And just, like, summertime, it's just so nice. Anyway. Thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun. You are just, like, a ball of joy and inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
So thank you for doing this.
So intriguing.
Yeah. Okay, so first, before we leave, tell us where we can find your line around the city and wherever online, and also on the interwebs and Instagram.
Yes. So I have an online website. It's shopmimimiller.com. Mm-hmm. And cool thing about that is I just launched Afterpay.
Cool.
So Afterpay allows people to pay in, like, 4 equal installments. It's completely interest-free. I just shopped with Anthropology, and they use it too.
That's awesome.
So it's like, if you don't have, like, all the funds, or don't want to dedicate all of your funds to, like, a $200 dress, you can, like, pay for it over time, like, every 2 weeks. Really cool.
Question as a business owner, do you get the payments in increments, or does...
I get it all up front.
The what's it called again?
Afterpay.
Afterpay fronts it, and then they take it. Okay, that's awesome.
It is. Very, it's really cool. Wow. So you can shop online with that, or in person here at my studio in Manassas, Virginia. And then Shopkeepers also carries my pieces. And yeah, that's pretty much it for now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so where are you, what's your Instagram?
Instagram handle is shopmimimiller.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. And to our listeners, if you love this episode, please give us a rating and review. Use your words, people.
Boop, 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 boop. Bye.
On iTunes.
Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.